Hey, welcome to Nerdy Paws. We're going to talk about some nerdy stuff, and we're going to talk about some furry stuff. This is Flynn Roush.
And this is Barbershop Wolfie. Welcome to our seventh episode.
My favorite number.
It's Flynn's favorite number, and we're talking about one of Flynn's favorite things. We're talking about the Legend of Zelda series today.
Yay, video
Yay!
games.
Yay, video games. Hooray.
So I was thinking before we started up the call, I'm like, really, this is kind of one of the big video gaming series that hasn't been perverted by like a whole bunch of non-canon material. Because you have like, so you have Super Mario Brothers, which doesn't really have a strict canon anyway, and then you have like the baseball games and Mario Kart and like all this other stuff, which is still fun, but like you're constantly, like you never go a year without a Mario title coming out.
Yeah.
But we're like, for the console anyway, we're 5 years away from Twilight Princess. So we're kind of like, okay.
Getting thirsty for a new one. But
Yeah, well,
the new one's coming out in November, right?
I know it's this year. It's definitely going to be fourth quarter because
Yeah, they want it. I
they want
think
a
it's
little
November
Christmas.
because they want it in time for the holidays. Because I was talking to my friend a couple days ago and he said they finally announced a date.
Yeah, I'm looking at it here now. Actually, it says November 20th. In North America, which is surprisingly later than the European release. It's weird, we usually get everything first. Well, there you go, Europeans, don't spoil it for us when you get it. No spoilers.
No spoiler face.
And speaking of, we may cover some serious spoilers in this because, but
Yeah.
if you've played one, you've played them all. They're pretty formulaic, so you kind of know how they're going to
The
play out.
only Zelda game that I think is really spoilerable is Wind Waker. But even then, it's
I
not like a
guess.
huge spoiler. Like, you kind of saw it coming, but like the way they did it, you're like, oh, whoa. That was creative.
Okay, well, I'm going to be interested to hear exactly what you're referring to when we get that far. That's probably the one that I'm least familiar with. But anyway, so we'll
Tetra, the thing with
probably.
her.
What?
In Wind Waker, Tetra, that thing.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I
Yeah,
guess.
you're. Because I wasn't expecting that. Like, I kind of knew she was important, but I didn't know she was going to be that important
Oh,
for
I think
that specific reason.
that was spoiled for me before I played it, so I already knew that.
Man, I didn't.
Yeah, I'm like, oh, it's like, well, when I finally played Ocarina of Time, I only played that last year. Like almost like 15 years after it was released. For 12 years I like actually finally sat down and played it.
I have a confession to make, and like I've said this to you before, but for everyone listening, I've actually never fully beaten Ocarina of Time, and
That's
I'm,
fine.
and
You
in,
know how it ends. You
I
know what
know how it
happens.
ends, like, and but it's just like I feel like I'm not a man because I never saved Hyrule from Ganondorf.
Oh, but that's okay. You're playing it now, so you'll get there.
Fuck the water temple, by the way.
We'll get there. So you haven't played the first two, right? The first two NES titles?
I never did, no,
Okay.
because I was too young or not born.
Yeah, I was pretty young. Yeah, you weren't born yet. So 1986 and 87 were when the first two came out for the NES. So the first one, like, the instruction book is, like, humongous. It's actually very thick, and the last, like, 10 or so pages actually direct you, like, where to go. It's like, here's where the first temple is, or the first dungeon is, and here's how you have to beat it. And then after that, it's like, good fucking luck. It's, like, very exploration-based. And there's like some screens where you have to like follow a certain pattern, like you have to go left and then up and then down and then left again to like continue moving to the left. But there's no indication anywhere that you have to do that. It's like very exploration based, and it's kind of like you sort of need a guide a little bit.
That kind of sucks.
Yeah, it does. But like there's actually a reason behind it, because Zelda, like Shigeru Miyamoto, when he was a kid, like was at a family country home, and he
Used to
would
play in
just
the woods, I know.
yeah he would just like explore, and he like found this lake and he found this cave, and it informed his later
Lake
his
Hylia.
yeah exactly it informed his
Death Mountain,
imagination when he
yeah.
became a designer, to be like, ooh, yeah, and because I was lost, I want the gamer to be lost as well.
Oh, Lord.
But of course the first one is the birth of a very very prominent internet meme, which would of course be, it's dangerous to go alone. Take
Take this,
this.
yeah. That's
Yeah.
always fun.
Or there's another one, like Dodongo dislikes smoke is another one.
Wait, what? I never heard that one before.
Yeah, it's like a tip on how to beat the boss for that dungeon. You have to like feed it bombs and stuff.
I mean, that's how you have to do it in Ocarina of Time too. So I'm kind of like, well.
Yeah, exactly. So they just it kind of really set the stage for later series. You have rupees, you have shops, you have the sword. You shoot beams out of it. You've got a couple of weapons that appear in later series: the bow, the boomerang.
Oh, the boomerang! I love the boomerang so
much.
It's so good because all the best parts of the bow, but you don't have to reload it. You never need ammo.
Yeah. Also, the fanfare, the you got some stuff fanfare.
You got that thing.
Yeah, exactly. That's that was in there too.
And the puzzle solving thing, like da-na-na-na-na-na-na.
Yep, the little chime. Less puzzle solving in the actual game, though. It's more like pathfinding and luck.
Yeah.
Like, oh, okay, well, I only have one bomb left, and there are three walls that I can choose to bomb, and I have to choose the right one, or I have to go back outside and buy some more and come back in. So.
Yeah.
But yeah, so the first one, definitely worth checking out. Consult a guide, because it can be extremely frustrating, or at least have an overworld map, just so you kind of know where to go.
Yeah.
But it's definitely worth playing. Trucking Right Along, the second one, came out a year later.
And the second one, lots of people were just like, what the hell is this?
Yeah, it's a side-scrolling action platformer kind of thing. It has, like, experience points.
But it has, like, an overworld map, a la Final Fantasy.
It does. And, like, if you walk off the road, like, random monsters will spawn, and if you touch them, then you're forced into an encounter that you have to clear.
Yeah.
It's fairly straightforward. It's really unforgivingly difficult.
So I hear, yeah.
Yeah, because like you get more HP as you go, but you don't get anything that prevents you from taking more damage. You get a spell that works as a shield until you leave that screen. So as soon as you come into screen, if you cast it, it's fine. But if you like go off, if you change screens, go to another screen, it's gone. And you just wasted that magic, so
that's lame.
It is. Also, no items in this one. No, no boomerang, no bow, no hook shot. None of those things. Just a sword with a pitifully short range.
Yeah, I hear. Like you know, you like good luck trying to get the sword to do anything because it's gonna do like nothing.
Well, and there's some enemies that you actually have to fence with. Like they will attack and guard, like high or low. So you have to attack their opening.
High or low, yeah.
But they will respond so quickly. Like, you will... Like, they'll be attacking low, and therefore guarding high, and you attack them low, but they'll block and hit you at the same time.
God, that's gonna be so damn frustrating.
Yeah, and you're just like, fuck! And they keep hitting you, and it takes off, like, half your health every hit, and you're like, no, I just wanna beat the dungeon.
I just wanna save Hyrule.
But the dungeon music... hasn't appeared in any Zelda games, but it has appeared as level themes in Super Smash Bros. Series in those temple areas. So that's kind of the only thing that's really made it out of Adventure of Link, really. Oh, except for Dark Link. You fight Dark Link as well, and he's fucking impossible.
Dude, I'm on him right now. He's so hard. Oh my god, I want to, like, throw things whenever I fight him. It's just, like, because I don't have the big Goron sword, because, like, to get the big Goron sword in Ocarina of Time is, like, the biggest fetch quest in the history of video games.
Oh, it's worthy of WoW.
It's, oh my god, it's like, you need to get this, to get this, to get this, and then you have a time limit for this one item, and that other item. So it's like you're running all across the world map, and then for some items you have a time limit. It's like, oh, you need these special mushrooms for the eye drops, but they'll expire in 2 hours.
And if you use a warp song, they spoil instantly. Like, you actually have to walk it there, don't you?
I don't know. I've never tried it, because, like, the big Goron sword for the whole time, I was just like, you know what? Forget it. Like, I'm not even going to try. Mm-hmm. But now that, like, you know, after, like, all my consecutive deaths for Dark Link, I'm thinking of maybe going for it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the Megaton Hammer. I really do think that works. I can't recall 100%, but I think maybe give that a try too.
Yeah, I think I'll give that a try after we're done with this, actually.
Oh, good. Let me know how it goes.
And if it doesn't, I'm blaming you. I'm like, God
okay.
Damn it.
That's fine. We can put a little addendum in there on the next episode. So after Adventure of Link... we had a 4-year gap until Link to the Past in 1991.
Which is your favorite.
Which is, it's my in my top two. It definitely holds like a very dear place in my heart. I even remember when I got it. I think I got it that year, and I had finished school and had a good report card, and my parents were like, "Okay, we'll buy you a game." And I was like,
"Hell,
I want
yeah.
the Zelda that I had rented once," and was like, "Oh my god, this is amazing!" So yeah, I got it. And
Victory
again,
is sweet.
Exactly. And it had another, it was another title actually that had a little hint book in it. Like a little, actually it was a little like in-universe hint book, because you know the sage that you meet outside the Eastern Temple?
Yeah, the little, the elder
the
or whatever.
Yeah, the little hint book is actually like written from his perspective.
Huh.
So it's like those like telepathic panels that you touch and he's like, yeah, here's advice. So it's kind of what it was like. Yeah, it's pretty
those
cool, actually.
Telepathic panels, they... I don't know what it was about them. Like, they always stated the obvious.
Yeah.
I was like, oh... Did you know that you can spin attack? It is I, Sharshala, the man of infinite knowledge. Hey, listen. Did you know...
No, he wasn't the one who popularized, hey, listen, you're getting ahead of yourself here now.
Seriously, if anyone listening to this does not know what hey, listen is, then they need to leave.
GTFO. So Link to the Past kind of really sort of created the mold by which pretty much all the future Zelda titles have been crafted. You usually have two different dungeon runs. You'll have like the first, usually three, that will result in you obtaining the Master Sword, and then you'll have another run that culminates in a final battle with Ganon. Usually there will be some kind of seal you have to break, or some sort of portal or power you have to collect,
there's
or something like that.
There's something on TV Tropes that says that it's like a broken up journey. It's like, you know, you do these things and you think you saved everything, and then evil gets the upper hand, and then you have to fetch these other sacred, you know, things.
Well, yeah,
sacred objects.
Yeah, and
you,
in Link to the Past, you're like, sweet, I'm going to get the Master Sword, I'm going to go kill Aghanim, and everything will be okay. And then you pick it up, and then Zelda contacts you telepathically, and she's like, yeah, you know how we were safe in the church? Well, we're fucked. So
it's like, it's like, scratch that. We're actually no longer safe in the church.
Yep. I'm like, oh, okay. Yeah, so it really, it kind of popularized that that sort of gameplay arc, so you have like kind of like two smaller arcs in there, kind of instead of putting you where like, yes, you have to go and kill the last boss and you have like a 12-hour slog before you get there. There's kind of like a mid boss before you move on, and then of course pretty much everybody's favorite item came about, the hookshot. This was the first
wait, that was also in Link to the Past?
Yeah, it was the first game to feature the hookshot.
Yeah, because I haven't gotten it yet in my game. Because prior to knowing that we were going to do this, I started playing all the a lot of Legend of Zelda games again, and I started doing Link to the Past because I'd never beaten it, but I never really attempted to either.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas with Ocarina, like, I attempted to, and then like by the time I was at the Ice Cavern and gave up, it was like, you know, the new systems were coming out, and I was like, well, I could keep this, but it's a PlayStation 2.
Exactly.
I can see people's face.
Yeah,
I actually remember that
just,
being one of
they're not just drawn on textures, they're actually rendered in 3D.
Yeah, God forbid.
let's see. What else about Link to the Past? Oh, the magic meter. We got a magic meter in that one as well.
Yes.
The Ocarina appears for the first time.
Does it?
It does. There's a whistle in the first and second games, but it's it looks like the warp flute from Mario Brothers 3.
It pretty much is the warp flute from Mario Brothers 3.
It is, but it was actually the same sprite as the warp whistle. The Ocarina, actually, it's like the blue Ocarina that looks like a misshapen potato. Like, it's...
I mean, aren't all Ocarinas pretty much misshapen potatoes anyway?
Pretty much, but this is the first time it actually appeared as one. So, which you use, of course, to teleport around around Hyrule. So, really, a lot of the things that we kind of take for granted in the later Zelda titles, a great many of them originated in Link to the Past. So, if you people haven't played it, oh my god, you're missing out enormously. You really should. Everybody should.
Go play it right now.
Right now. We'll wait.
No, we won't wait.
No, we won't wait. That will take hours.
Unless you pause the sound, and then we will wait.
Mm-hmm. And then, so let's see. So that was in 1991. So we had to wait until 1998 for the next console Zelda title.
Yeah, and it was a glorious one.
Yeah, it was most people's favorite. I was a PlayStation kid, so I didn't have an N64, nor did I know anybody who had one. So I never got to play Ocarina of Time until I got a Wii and downloaded it on the Virtual Console. And despite the fact that it is visually it hasn't aged well at all, the gameplay has aged very well, and it's still very fun and very satisfying to get all the way through.
Yeah, I mean, and when you think about visuals, nothing really ages well in the video game world anymore.
I find that sprite-based games tend to age better.
Yeah, but then again, it's not like they were trying, it's not like they were going for the, you know, the prettiest visuals ever.
Well, yeah, it was more...
Because the focus was more on the gameplay anyway, because, you know, they weren't going for, like, you know, oh, super great, fantastic graphics, because it was a sprite-based game.
Mm-hmm. So that being said, it follows the same kind of format as Link to the Past. You've got your first three dungeons, you get the Master Sword, then you have a whole bunch more. I think, was it six? Five?
I think it's five, because it's the Force Temple, the Fire Temple, the Water Temple, the Spirit Temple, and the Shadow Temple. Yeah, five.
And then the
light medallion that you get as soon as you get the Master Sword, and then you have the final Ganon castle.
Mm-hmm.
There's something else that's introduced in this game that I found TV Tropes had a very funny name for it.
Oh.
The exposition fairy.
Oh.
Because your character doesn't talk, so Navi does all the talking for you. It's just, oh, God, she's so annoying. And I think it never fazed me as a child, but, like, now...
I think children are immune to things that are, like, intentionally annoying. And sometimes...
Well, because I was a child, so I myself was also
pretty
annoying.
Sometimes video game developers don't understand that intentionally annoying is still annoying.
Yeah.
Navi is annoying.
Listen,
I'm like, can I just Z target something, please, without you talking to me about it? Like, just let me target something. Hello, I'm like, fuck off.
It's like even when you're like so far, if you like approach a door with a lock on it, even if you're like 3/4 of the way through the game, she'd be like, hey, Link, you can't open this door. You need a key. And I'm like, no, really. And, oh, she was so goddamn annoying. I showed you the haiku that someone wrote about,
Oh, yeah, you did.
Someone wrote about, Navi, right? He goes, hey, listen, Navi, you already just said that. I want to kill you.
And then the one
about the water temple was fantastic, because I'm in the water temple now, and, oh, it's so frustrating. Because it's like, if you miss a key... It's like, oh, gotta sink all the way to the bottom again.
Yep.
And then, oh, it was so frustrating.
What's the haiku?
The haiku is, Dear Water Temple, I hate you so, so, so much. I want you to die.
I like how I want you to die. It's just kind of the
scansion of it. Like, it's, like, it almost doesn't even seem like it should fit. And then you're like, no, it definitely fits.
Speaking of exposition fairies, there's actually, I guess you could consider Kepora Gabora, the owl that follows you around.
Oh, the owl.
He tends to exposit quite a lot, which really makes me wonder when the Zelda team is going to give us an option to skip cutscenes. Because it's just like, oh my god. And then at the end, he's like, did you get all that? And the cursor defaults to no, so you're like mashing A because you're like, I don't care.
And then you hit no, and then you're like, fuck, no, damn it!
You're like, stop it, no, I just want to go out to Hyrule Field and get killed by stall children.
I think as long as the cutscenes are more cinematic or like more stuff is happening, I don't mind as much. Like, if it's nothing but you just like looking at the owl bob his head up and down while he... like, vomits a wall of text.
Yeah, voice acting would be a welcome addition at this point.
I don't know about voice acting.
Yes, they have to have it. They can't not have voice acting anymore. It's 2011. It's required.
No, I don't know, though. I don't want voice acting.
If they can put voice acting in a Mario game, they can put it in a Zelda game.
Yeah, but it's stupid sounding in a Mario game.
No, it's not. In Mario Galaxy, Rosalina does some talking, doesn't she?
She does some talking, but it's not like fully voice acted. She's not saying all the lines. Like, every so often, she'll, like, say, like, a little sound bite of something. She'll be like, Mario!
Or
like,
oh, yeah. I
oh,
guess
no! Like, her lines weren't fully voiced. Like, I would like that in a Zelda game. I think that'd be fun. Not for Link, though, but, you know, other non-playable
characters. Like, I'd like to hear Ganondorf talk.
Yeah, but they tried to voice Bowser in Mario Galaxy, and it was just bad. No, it was Mario Sunshine.
Oh, was it?
Yeah, and he was like, ah, Mario, what are you doing on my island? Or, like, I don't know, something. And he sounded like Wario or something, or like a Saturday morning cartoon villain, which, I mean, he kind of is a Saturday morning cartoon villain. Nevertheless, I was just like, ah, no, don't do that, Nintendo.
Yeah, I guess they'd have to do it very, very judiciously if they were going to start putting voices.
It would have to be very, they'd have to be very, I had a word, and then it just disappeared.
Appropriate. It would just have to be very appropriate and very careful.
Yes, they'd have to be very
otherwise
careful.
It'll just come off stupid. So before we move on, what's your most favorite dungeon from Ocarina of Time?
I don't know, because the first time I played it, the Deku Tree dungeon, like, stumped me. But I was, like, 11, and I'd never played a Mario game. I'd never played a Zelda game before, and it was... I was just, like, running around, and one of my brother's friends actually almost beat the entire dungeon. Well, not for me, but he told me everything to do. I don't know, it's just, like, the Deku Tree dungeon always sort of has that place in my heart because of that. It was, like, the first dungeon that I defeated in a Zelda game. But, I don't know. Jabu Jabu's Belly might be one of my least favorite, but that's just because Princess Ruto is a bitch. For the whole dungeon. I hate her. She deserved to get digested. Like, holy god,
You need the Zora jewel thingy that she's got.
That she will eventually hold over your head later, 7 years later. She's like, you were a cruel man to make me wait 7 years so we could be married. I was like, bitch, you are a fish.
She was just
so annoying, and her head is so grossly misshapen, even more so because the graphics were so pointy.
Well, yeah, that too. I would say my favorite is probably the Spirit Temple.
I've never done it before.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Well, it's you actually have to go through it in both time periods.
Really?
Yeah, it's really, the design of it is really cool. There's a lot of really cool puzzles in there.
No, because the Spirit Temple, what you gotta do is, like, there's some places you can only get to as Young Link, because there are, like, some little places that you can only crawl through, like, the
exactly.
wall. Yeah.
Yeah. So, and, yes, yeah, so you do part of it, and then something happens in the past, and then you have to go to the future time zone, and then do the other half of the temple, like, more like other three-quarters of the temple as Adult Link.
Isn't that when you finally find out that Sheik isn't its own character, but it was just Princess Zelda in disguise?
No, that's after. You find that out when you go back to the Temple of Time after you get the last medallion. Because then she's like, you know, it can finally be told, and then bam, and then Ganondorf's like, haha, noob, I'm going to trap you in a crystal and teleport away. That's how I do things. So 2 years after Ocarina of Time, we got
Majora's Mask, the Silent Hill of the Legend of Zelda series.
Unintentionally creepy in so many ways.
I love it because of that, though. Like, Majora's Mask, I feel in some ways, like, some people, they're like, man, I hate Majora's Mask. I was like, why? And, like, they couldn't really give me a legitimate reason. They're like, because it was, like, trying to be Ocarina of Time. And I was like, yeah, how dare they?
But it wasn't at all, is the thing.
Yeah.
It doesn't follow any of the same kind of formats of previous Zelda titles.
Which is one of the reasons why I liked it, because I feel like... I don't know, I just really, really liked it. I liked the masks, I liked the happy mask salesman. He's the best unintentionally creepy character
in terrifying.
The world.
It's like child abuse picks you up and just starts shaking you. You're like, ah!
He's like, you do have the mask, right? Rape face. How dare you not have my mask?
It's also the only Zelda title that I'm aware of that, like, there's actually a sense of urgency to do something.
Oh my god.
Because usually...
Clock Town 3 song, I'm, like, panicking and wetting my pants.
In any kind of, like, adventure or RPG title, like, you do everything, you do all the side quests or whatever, and there's kind of, like, this period of time that you shouldn't really have, where, like, the end of the world is just about to happen, but you can fuck around and do all the side quests and, like, go collect things and whatever.
And be there just in time to save the world.
Yeah, exactly. But in Majora's Mask, there's actually, like, a clock ticking. It's on the bottom of the screen, and there's a moon hanging over with really a rape face on it. It's fucking creepy.
Oh my god, the moon.
And then you get to, you're like, okay, and then you get to, like, the last 6 hours, and the music just becomes... It overwrites the music of anything else that's happening except for a boss battle. And you're just like, oh god, it's just like this such despairing tune.
And like you can see all the village people, like, you know, looking up at the sky, they're like, everything's going to be alright. Yes, we'll have the festival tomorrow. And then I'm like, oh my god, everyone's about to die, and no one wants to say it, even though like the moon is right there, like 30 feet from town.
Yeah, well, they're like, I guess we'll go hang out at Romani Ranch. I mean, even though it's not that far away. But yeah, they're like, if you go there on the third day, half the townspeople who aren't still in Clocktown are there, and they're like flipping out. So I guess just where the atmosphere is so different from from Ocarina of Time. Like, I think maybe that was what was so off-putting.
It was very off-putting, I think, because it was like a much more somber Zelda than anyone had ever seen before. Because before it was sort of like, you know, this grand sort of, not like fun, but like this uplifting adventure of like, oh, we have to save the princess, and, you know, peace and justice is going to rule when you triumph. But like, you know, this, it's sort of like you watch as, like, you can watch the world end if you don't do the game right, you know, if you wait until all 3 days are up, you watch the world end.
Well, you met a nasty end, didn't you?
Yeah, it's like you've met with a terrible fate, haven't you?
A terrible
you?
Fate, yeah, that's right.
And,
But now, that being said, the sense of urgency that the time limit gives can also be very frustrating when you're trying to complete a dungeon, and they are fairly long, except for the first one. The swamp dungeon is not too long, but the remaining three dungeons are very long, and if you don't complete it in time, you have to use the Song of Time to go back to the first day and do the whole thing.
And the dungeons reset, right?
Yeah, everything resets. The only thing that doesn't reset are chests that contain the dungeon treasure. So like when you get the bow, you have the bow, but yeah, you have to go get all the keys again and all that stuff.
Isn't there a way to slow down the clock though?
There is. Yeah. So when you get the ocarina back from Skull Kid, you get a little flashback, and Zelda teaches you the Song of Time, and you play it and you go back in time. But then you can also learn from a scarecrow the Song of Double Time, which warps ahead to the next time, like the next part of day, so either night or morning, or the inverted Song of Time, which actually doubles the amount of time you have.
Yeah.
So basically, like, what I would do when I was playing it, I was like, okay, so I'm going to go do the Stone Temple, I'm going to play the Song of Time, then I'm going to play the inverted Song of Time, because I don't have enough time to complete it. Because you have to do the whole Stone Temple, the Stone Tower Temple, and then you get the light arrows, and then you have to shoot this little gem outside, and then the whole thing flips upside down, and you have to do it again upside down.
What?
Yeah. I'm like, I don't want to do this. But then you understand later, as you're going through, why you kept finding these chests that only had 1 rupee in them. You're like, what the fuck is this chest there? It's because you have to use the hook shot to, like, to grab onto it and use it as a little tether.
Huh.
Yeah, it's like super clever dungeon design. They're just too long. Like Great Bay Temple and Stone Temple Tablets. Yeah, they should not be in the same game. They're just too long.
The Great Bay Temple, at least, not as frustrating as the Water Temple.
No, it's frustrating in a different way, because instead of raising the water level and lowering the water level, you have to manipulate the way the currents are flowing.
Which, I mean, is smart, but it's also just sort of like, really?
Yeah, I'm like, I just want to swim there. Can I not swim?
I just
but anyway,
want to be Zelda Link.
Zora
Link, I mean.
Have you played it all the way through?
Majora's Mask? No, I started to, and then, like, because on my gamepad, what I started doing is I configured the buttons to, like, you know, the D-pad would be the C buttons, and it didn't occur to me later to, like, that, you know, because the D-pad's right next to my directional pad, and if I needed to use my arrow, I'd be using two hands on, like, one side of my gamepad, so, like, that made some of the dungeon puzzles really hard, because it's like, you know, whenever you have to shoot something and you're on a moving surface, it's like almost impossible. And it wasn't until recently, once I started playing Ocarina of Time again, that I thought to myself, it's like, why don't I just don't put the arrow there? Don't put my bow there. I'll put it on a different button. And I'm thinking after I finish Ocarina of Time, I'm going to do Majora's Mask.
Yeah, it's definitely worth playing. It's a lot more open-ended than other ones. There's a lot of side quests to be done for sure.
Definitely. Especially like if you have all the masks.
Yes. Yeah. Like there's some bonus dungeons you get to do at the end even. But anyway, if you guys haven't played it, you should definitely check it out. It's certainly a worthwhile title. So Majora's Mask was 2000, Wind Waker came out 2002, probably the next most controversial title to Majora's Mask, I would say.
Yeah, I really loved Wind Waker. Like, some people hated the graphic design, which I understand, but it didn't bother me as much, because it's like, my thing about graphic design is, I don't care whether or not because I talked to you, Flynn, about this once when I was I was saying, it's like everyone's saying, oh my gosh, I wish the Zelda series was more dark. And then I was like, oh yeah, how do you wish it was more dark? Like, you know, just like dark.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I was like, you're full of shit. All you want is because dark is cool. And there's, you know, like, I don't see the reason to make something more dark if there's no reason for it to be there. Like, if it has something to do with the story or the characters or the overall feel of the game, then that's one thing. But it's like, you know, everyone was like, gosh, I just wish Wind Waker had been made more dark. I was like, do you realize how retarded that would look if, like, Wind Waker had the art style of Twilight Princess? Meanwhile, like, you know, none of, like, all the same music, all the same story, but, like, it, you know, had the dark, drab feeling of Twilight Princess. I'm like, ah, that looks so out of place.
I really like the cartooniness of it.
I really liked it too.
Like, I think it's actually a very attractive art style. And even when you're doing, like, at the very beginning, you're doing the Forbidden Fortress, and you're like creeping around, you have no sword. Like the fire is like this really vibrant orange, and all the enemies have like an accent color to them. So like the moblins are gray, but they're wearing their spears have those like orange tassels, like that color.
Yeah.
So there's just little pops of visual candy everywhere. Or even the second dungeon that you do, the second actual dungeon when you're on Dragon Roost Island.
Oh, Dragon Roost Island has the best music.
It totally does.
Ever. I love that song.
So you're going through and you're going through this gray cavern, and then you come into this huge open area and there's like lava geysers everywhere and just like really assaults your eyes. It's like people who say, oh no, it's too bright, it's too bright and kiddy. I'm like, okay, did you get off Outset Island? Because, yeah, Outset Island is, like, this, you know, lush little paradise, so, okay, I can see why you would say that. But, like, even, like, all the dungeons are super dark. When you do the Forest Haven dungeon.
Yeah.
Like, that one is, there's, like, creepy, crazy plant enemies that eat you everywhere.
Yeah, for like, serious? Yeah.
Like, there's plant vor happening, people, come on.
Everyone wins when there's plant vor involved.
The one thing that I wish Wind Waker had more of those dungeons. Like, it only had, like, really four.
I mean, the dungeons
five.
Were kind of long, though, right?
I mean, not really. They weren't super long, especially because when you think about it, so you do Dragon Roost Island, and you get one of the pearls, and then you do the Forest Haven, you get another one, and then you get the third one for free.
From
Jabun
who?
Is just like, here you go.
Oh, yeah, Jabun. You have to find him, though, right? Like, he's not, you don't just, like, you know, herp derp, okay, let's go see him. It's like, you gotta, like, find him.
Yeah, but Tetra tells you where he is.
Yeah.
Like, well, she tells her crew while you're, like, eavesdropping and she knows you're there. She's like, yep, pretty sure he's in a cave behind Outset Island.
It's like, not like, it's like, I know no one's listening, but if someone was listening, I really hope they didn't hear this thing I'm about to say.
Exactly, yeah, so.
I just
wish they had at least one more dungeon.
Yeah. What I was talking about before, though, when we were talking about spoilers, the only thing that I think that Wind Waker is the most spoilerable because of the whole time you're thinking, it's like, why is it this giant ocean? Like, you know, what happened? All the other games, it was like this big, giant Hyrule field. And it's like, you know, there was, you know, the lake, the non-specific lake down in the south, Lake Hylia or the Great Bay or whatever you call it.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, in this game, it was, like, all ocean. And you were like, what the hell happened? And then when you finally get the three pearls and descend down into the ocean, it all makes sense.
Yeah.
That, like, Hyrule was flooded to keep out Ganondorf. No, like, Ganondorf was returning, and they were like, you know, like, this is our last resort. We have to flood Hyrule. And then, like, everyone fled to the mountains, and the mountains are the islands that are now in the Great Sea. And I was like, oh my god, this makes so much sense.
And it's Petra's just,
also
just
randomly...
Writing.
Huh?
It's just good writing.
Yeah, it was just good writing, which, like, yeah, the stories keep getting progressively more complex the more Zeldas there are.
Yeah.
And I think Majora's Mask was, like, sort of set that into motion. Because, like, up until, like, even in Ocarina of Time, there were, like, a few plot twists, like, you know, oh, Sheik is actually Zelda. But, you know, for the most part, it was, you know, get the sword, get the thing, get all the sacred items, fight the evil, save the princess, save the world. And then in Majora's Mask, like, you were still saving the world, but Zelda was barely in the game. There was no damsel in distress. Like, you were fighting for you.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, it was a lot more of a story-driven game, especially with the story of Skull Kid, too. Like, that was sad. I felt bad for him by the, because I've seen the ending, and I was like, oh my god, that's so sad.
Mm-hmm.
All you wanted was friends.
Yeah, it's, well, and playing through it like subsequent times, because every time you clear a dungeon, you see one of the Titans from a distance, and they'll speak something, like, really fragmented, and your fairy who's with you should be like, oh, you're talking about this. It's like, no, they're not talking about that. They're talking about when they say help friend, they're not saying help the other Titans that are trapped. They're saying help our friend Skull
yeah.
Kid.
Help our
and
friend Skull
like,
Kid.
We're like, oh my god.
Like, oh my god, Tattle, you suck at this.
Yeah.
You're the worst exposition fairy ever.
Ever. Yeah.
I just like saying exposition fairy. It's fun.
Man, trope names are so freaking addictive to just say.
Oh, gosh. My favorite one is Gangst. Gay Angst.
Oh, yes.
Gangst.
That's a good one. So, anything else about Wind Waker?
It had arguably some of the best music, I think, in any Zelda title.
I think every Zelda title has one really kicking tune. I would say for, like, Ocarina of Time, it was Gerudo Desert's music.
Mm-hmm.
Was probably pretty good. I would say for Wind Waker, it was definitely the Dragon Roost. Yeah.
Yeah, but I think the credits music, where they, like, combine all these different songs into one, like, they all keep running into each other.
Okay.
I think you know what song this is, but if you don't, like, you know, I'll send it to you after the podcast is over, because it's really awesome, because it's like the Earth God's lyric, the Wind God's aria, Zelda's lullaby, the Great Sea song. It's like all these different things, like, thrown into one another.
Oh,
and
cool.
I was like, how did you do that?
Because Koji Kondo's a genius.
Yes, he is. He does not fuck around.
No, he does not. So then now the last console title that was released to date was Twilight Princess, which was 2006. So
and finally all the dark fanboys got what they wanted. They got
yeah.
a darker Zelda.
So,
but it did make sense, and I liked it.
I really didn't like it at first, because I was playing it from what I thought the game should have been, like, from that perspective. But then when I realized that it was, in fact, because I played it on the Wii, that it was a GameCube game with motion control tacked on, I was like, oh,
essentially, yeah.
Now I can actually enjoy this because it's not, because I was playing it as if it were a tech demo for the Wii, and that's not what it is at all. So
yeah.
That aside, I was like, okay, now I can actually enjoy this. And when I got my Wii, it was the first game I bought, and I played it probably 17 hours every day until I finished it. Yeah, like, it was just, I couldn't stop playing it. I thought it had a really consistently decent narrative. It had engaging characters that I cared about.
Watched Lord of the Rings like 1,000 times and then wrote this game.
Yeah, like you could. I mean, there's you could turn into a wolf, which, you know, holds certain interest to furries.
I thought that was kind of like as much as I did like the wolf mechanic, they really didn't have any reason as to like specifically why a wolf. They said like a blue-eyed beast. Like you could have been like, you could have looked like Beast Ganon and still like fulfilled what the story talked about. But like the reason they said in an E3 interview, and I remember like showing this to my friend and laughing at the guy who was in the interview, he's like, well, wolves has a certain like mysticism about them, and they're lots of folklore, and like I was like, they're all true. Those are all true statements. But I was like, so the reason you did it is because, quote, wolves are cool.
Basically,
people like them.
Yeah, that's true. Like, I can't really think of a reason why they would pick a wolf other than that
wolves are cool.
Like,
that's the reason.
Wolves are cool, but you know, there's like Link always goes alone, so like, you know, the lone wolf, even though they're pack animals.
Yeah,
you know, they're battle competent.
Well,
you know,
he was a bunny in Link to the Past for a little while.
Yeah.
Oh, the cuteness.
Oh, the cuteness.
I want to see Bunny Link again.
But if you have a ball called the Moon Pearl, you can keep your shape.
I turned into a ball, but if you have a ball called the Moon Pearl, oh my god.
The, so Twilight Princess, we're back to more the style, the gameplay arc style of Ocarina of Time and Link to the Past. You've got your opening few dungeons.
Yeah,
you get the Master Sword. You've got a couple more dungeons.
The Master Sword till about 60% through the game. Like, it's a while before you get it.
It is, but there's still like five more dungeons after you get it.
Yeah.
So you do your obligatory Forest Temple, Fire Temple, and Water Temple, and then you get the sword. And then you can change shape at will, and then you start the next like five or six dungeons to go. I think it's five.
I do not remember.
It's like the desert temple and,
oh my god, the desert temple,
the ice temple, the sky temple.
The sky temple is by far my least favorite dungeon.
Really? Like, oh, I love it. It's so cool.
No, I love it and I hate it. Like, I love it because I'm like, this is so cool. This is such a great idea. But then, like, I'm like, oh, it's so frustrating. God damn.
Yeah, but you get to be Spider-Man.
Yeah.
You're hookshotting between walls. You're like, yeah, this is awesome. I'm
Spider-Link.
So good.
Spider-Link.
Basically. What do we have here? We have mounted combat for the first time. You get to do some jousting while you're riding your horse. And the horse is actually like appropriately sized for a horse this time. In Ocarina of Time, Epona was actually not that big. She was only like, she was fairly small, but in this one, it's like huge. She's, I think Link's head just barely comes up to her back. Like, she's actually a big horse. So you're like, yeah, you know, I feel like I'm a real knight charging into battle now. So it's,
yeah. that night.
Despite the fact that the motion controls were tacked on, for the sword play, I could take it or leave it. But for accurate shooting with the bow or boomerang, it was perfect. Like, you could hit anything. If you could hold your hand steady, you could hit anything.
Yeah, but then the whole thing is like, you holding your hand steady, that became much more difficult.
Yeah,
damn it, why did my hand keep shaking?
Yes, I played a lot of Trauma Center, so...
Oh, Trauma Center.
Yeah, so I've developed steady hands for the Wii.
Have you seen the have you seen an Ego Raptor Flash cartoon of Awesome Center under the Awesome? Oh, good.
Use your zappy gun to get them.
Use your zappy gun to get them.
Doctor, we need you to disarm this bomb.
open that shit up. Oh, God.
Okay, anyway, so apparently Skyward Sword, which is coming out later this year, is going to be a lot like the one we were just talking about, Twilight Princess. Do you feel that's, like, a good direction, or...?
I don't know. It's like a halfway direction, like, as far as art style, between Wind Waker and Twilight Princess. I'm sure once I see it in motion, it's going to look a lot prettier than when I do in screenshots, because in screenshots, I just look at it and I want to say, like, either go one way or go the other way. But then I'll see videos, like high quality videos, and I'm like, actually, that looks pretty awesome.
Yeah, it seems every time I see it in motion, like just the way that the colors move about, it seems to be a lot more visually engaging.
Like in Wind Waker, like, you know, when you saw screenshots, you're like, what the hell is this? But then, like, you see it in motion, a video of it, and then you're like, oh, that actually kind of looks pretty awesome.
Yeah. I'm looking forward to it. Like, I will definitely, you know, November 20th, I will own it. Like, I will go to a store and I will buy it.
I will steal it from my friend because my Wii got stolen this summer, as you remember me telling you.
Sad face.
Sad face. For some reason, the thief is listening to this, and I know they're not. They suck.
Aw. Yeah, I'm really looking forward to it. It's going to use the Wii Motion Plus, so the sword play should hopefully be a whole lot better. They're adding a couple of new items, apparently. Apparently there's going to be a whip. Which,
Indiana Jones.
Yeah, which apparently people have, like, examined the physics of. Apparently it's completely impossible to do that with a whip. But I'm sure the game will feature it anyway. and then there's that, like, mechanical flying bug thing that, like, grabs items and moves levers and stuff like that. I've seen some things of that.
Yeah.
But yeah, like, other than that, it seems to continue very much along the established path, but I'm sure just like all the previous titles have, it's going to include yet another new layer onto the story and also the gameplay that'll make it, like, a really engaging and satisfying experience.
Yeah, I agree.
And you know, Koji Kondo's doing the music, so...
Oh, is it fully orchestrated?
I think that's what they're going for this time.
Because in Twilight Princess, it wasn't.
Oh my god! I'm like, what is this MIDI garbage that I'm hearing? Ugh. Yeah.
We're music fags.
It's supposed to be. The music quality is supposed to be much higher this time. So, but yeah, it blows my mind. I'm like, the music in Super Mario Galaxy is friggin' beautiful. Why is not your other flagship series not given the same musical treatment? Just yeah. It bothers me a little bit.
All right, we're heading towards the end of the cast. I don't know if we're gonna, like, we went pretty long. I had fun though. Like,
oh yeah, we'll
figure out a way to make it
down,
work.
Sure. But yeah, it was good. So guys, if you haven't played any of the Zelda games yet, I'm not going to shame you into it. But if you like adventure titles, it's definitely one worth checking out. I mean, it's not exceptionally popular for no reason.
Yeah, and Flynn won't shame you into it, but I will, because you really should. Like, I know very few people who just absolutely hated the Legend of Zelda series, unless, like, well, I know some guy, he's like, man, I hate that series, it makes you read, and I'm like, yeah, reading, that sucks.
That's gay.
That's so gay. I'm glad I'm not gay.
What?
I'm not gonna open up that can of worms.
Yeah, that's for another podcast.
Oh Lord.
All right. Well, then I guess that pretty much clues it up. So yeah, listeners, leave a message on our submission for this, and just let us know what your favorite Zelda title was and things that you liked about it. Let's be interactive. Let's have conversations.
Yes, question of the week. What was your favorite Zelda and why?
Yeah, maybe we'll do a little poll and reveal the results next week.
All right, cool. Well, this was fun. Listeners, thank you as always for listening and stuff and things. This was Nerdy Pause, the podcast with Stono Outro. I'm Barbershop Wolfie.
And this is Flynn Roush.
Bye, guys.
Later.